Hello and welcome back to the Sunday Podcast, presented by SportsShoes.com. I'm Ollie Lum.
And I'm Matt Seddon.
We are back for Season 3 and it's going to be a good one.
With the aim of raising the profile of British distance running, we're bringing you more content than ever.
Every week, we'll give you insights into the lives and training of some of the UK's top athletes and coaches,
as well as all the latest updates from the races up and down the country and around the world.
You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all major podcast streaming platforms.
Keep a lookout for our new YouTube channel too, where we're posting workout videos, shoe reviews, and much more.
Stay up to date by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Sunday Podcast.
And if you want to drop us a line, send us an email to info@sundaypodcast.com.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the episode. For this week's episode, we welcome James West back to the podcast. We first spoke to Westy back in February 2021, so go and check that out if you want more of an overview on his career. This time, though, we caught up about his recent move to New Balance Manchester and what it means for the years ahead. Enjoy. Okay, Westy, welcome back. I believe it's your third time on the pod, potentially even fourth. I might have to go back and check, but how's things, first of all?
Yeah, good, thanks. Thanks for having me on again. Always enjoy having a little chat about running. It's quite simple, but thanks for having me on. Yeah, things are good. Just got back from St. Moritz the other week, so had a little race on the weekend, which I'm sure we'll have a little chat about as well. But yeah, just in Marple, haven't actually been here too long, to be fair. Kind of feel like I've been here a while, but I was actually only in here for about a week before we went off for a month, so still getting the room all set up.
So you're living in that athlete house in, or is it, so the village is called Marple, is it? A lot of us just know it as Stockport, I guess, but yeah.
It's Marple. It's just obviously south of Manchester. Stockport's like 5 minutes away, but it's not that nice. Stockport, Marple's quite a bit nicer. But yeah, it's kind of in the sort of Peak District area, so the runs are really nice and weather at the moment's lovely. So yeah, it's a nice little place.
Good man.
Yeah, let's chat about how all this kind of came about then, because obviously last time we spoke to you, you seemed to be hopping around a few places. But obviously with New Balance Manchester now, when did sort of the talks or kind of things start getting into motion around kind of making this move?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it started really around sort of September, October. So obviously I was in Font-Rémy and I was starting to work actually just a tiny bit with Gary Luff, Mo and those boys. I did a few sessions with them out in Font and I was like, you know, this is something maybe that would work for me. And I remember reaching out to Pete and sort of saying, I sent an email to Pete Riley and said, you know, would there be any sort of support there if I was to sort of go with those guys and sort of do like what Andy maybe does. And he said they wouldn't be able to support me in that way, but they would be interested in me maybe joining one of the groups, either the Boston group or the Manchester group. And obviously I was very interested in doing that. I think it was just important for me to kind of try and get a support system in place and a better setup with a team. And obviously I've been struggling with injury last few years, so that kind of stuff is huge if I could get that physio and massage in place. So yeah, basically it put me in contact with Helen, had a quick call with Helen a few days later and things clicked nicely. And I thought this is something I'd be interested in. So the process from then on is you go for a team visit, which was November time for me. I'd come up to the house and meet the team and I guess see if, you know, you get on with everybody and if there's a fit there. So that went well, got on with everybody, and I was then invited out to the camp in Flagstaff, which the Manchester team had been invited out by the Boston team, basically, to join them for a camp in Flag. And then, yeah, I just about got out there. I had some visa issues, funnily enough. My P1 got rejected the first time. So once you get rejected for a P1, you can't get an ESTA, which is like a visitor's visa. So I actually couldn't even get out to Flag. I wasn't sure I was going to be able to get out there, but eventually I managed to get a last minute appointment and got it approved. So I was able to get out there with about 2.5 weeks before the Boston race. So it was getting to the point where I wasn't going to go because I was thinking, well, you know, you kind of want 3 weeks at altitude before you race. And it was a bit on the borderline, but I just got out there and yeah, had a really great time out there. Snowed a ton, unfortunately. I'm not sure we'll be going out to Flag in Jan again anytime soon, but it started from there really. And I guess if I'm being honest, there was still at the time in January, I was told I still had the choice of both groups, really. And this was where there was a little bit of a mess, because I, in November, was like, oh, I'm happy to join Manchester. Let's get going with just getting it done. And then it was like, no, let's wait and see, wait and meet the Boston group, and see how that fit is. And so it was just a bit of a mess in flag, because I actually went into the Manchester house, because I, there was two houses, the Boston lot and the Manchester lot. And I asked to go into the Manchester house. But I still wasn't like being coached by Helen at the time. And I was still supposed to meet with Mark Coogan, the Boston coach, to see whether that was a fit. So after a while, it just didn't really work out, even meeting up with Mark and stuff. And the decision was quite simple for me to make, to just go with Manchester in the end. So it could have been done quite a lot earlier, but it ended up being not till sort of February time that things were really concluded with me joining the Manchester team. So yeah, these things happen. But yeah, it was quite a long process in the end.
This is interesting, the real kind of ins and outs of signing contracts and, you know, getting involved with groups. Why, what particularly kind of stops you from, I don't know, chatting with Mark then, I guess, like, because it sounds like you didn't really have much contact with him at all. What was the issue there?
Yeah, I don't really know what happened with that. I think it was mixed messages from different people. I mean, I don't want to get into it too much, because it's obviously like behind the scenes stuff, but I think it's fair to say, and I think Helen understood it was right for me to have the discussion with both coaches. Obviously, it's a big life decision, whether you move out to Boston or Manchester. So I wanted to do things right, and I was told to do things right, and that was meet with both. But with Mark, I don't know whether there was miscommunication there and he wasn't actually that interested in having me on the team. I don't know if that was the situation. That was never told to me, but we just never really met up out in flag. And yeah, I after a while, it was kind of, for me, like I said, I actually was just happy to join the Manchester team in November. So it was other people who were sort of slowing that down by telling me, well, we want you to explore that other option as well first before you make that decision. And I was like, okay, fair enough. I'll go ahead with that. But also for me, a big part of it is, does the coach want to coach you? Are they interested in coaching you? And I just didn't really get that with Mark after a week or two in flag. And I'd already kind of been leaning towards Manchester. I'd asked to be in the house with them in flag. I was already working with Helen. We got on well straight away, and I got on with everybody on the team. So after a week or so, it was like, look, you know, if he doesn't want to have a chat, or if we can't get it to go, then that's not particularly interesting for me either, because I want to be with a coach who wants to coach me. So yeah, after about a week in flag, we got going, and I was pretty much on board with whatever Helen was setting me at the time. So it was pretty smooth from there out. But yeah, that's kind of what happened. So, yeah.
How was it kind of getting in then with Helen? You mentioned it was kind of a smooth transition, but obviously you had races coming up, and it's almost a strange time of year to just be jumping in with a new coach.
It is a weird one. I guess I'm quite good at trusting coaches once I sign on. I think Helen will be fair to say that as well. Like, I bought into the program very quickly, and I've had quite a few coaches in my time. So it's, you know, when I moved to Oregon, it was like I bought into what Andy was doing. And then when Andy left, it was I bought into what Ben was doing immediately. So I think as soon as I sat down and sort of joined Manchester, it was sort of like, well, you're with Helen now, and you've got to, I felt like I need to trust what she said to me, and if it's slightly different, which obviously it was quite different to Ben's training, as you boys know, I've kind of explained Ben's stuff in the past. It's pretty different to any other coach I've worked with. So it is a transition, and it's something we're still figuring out right now, really, if I'm honest. Like some of the sessions I had in Kievenna in St. Moritz were blooming really, really hard. And I think we're still figuring out like the right paces and the right sessions for me and things like that. But in terms of like in flag, it worked quite well. And Helen's quite good at, there was one session where I mixed in with Neil and Ben Veach up in the dome just for one of the sessions. And we went down to Camp Verde and I did some stuff with the Boston group. So I think she's quite good as well at like mixing in with other people if you need to. But yeah, I would say it was smooth in a way, but also, yeah, we're still figuring things out. And I think another big challenge for us is figuring out how we move to the five as well, and how we get that right. And that's something like off this weekend. You're obviously always overanalyze races a little bit, but which I think is unnecessary for an opener. But yeah, I think it's figuring out what sort of training plan we hit for that five, and how do we sprinkle in the speed stuff when necessary, and figuring that out over the next month, probably over this next year as well. So I think it's going to be a bit of a work in progress this year, for sure. Well,
yeah, we weren't going to go there just yet, but we'll go there because you kind of mentioned it, that transition to the five. Is that firmly where your head's at? Obviously, I always think looking, you know, from being on the outside, I think you've got unfinished business in the 1500, but it sounds like your kind of head's, you know, with the 5K at the moment.
I'm a bit all over the place, to be honest, mate. Changes week to week at the moment with me. It's a difficult one. I don't think it helps, obviously, that the 15 team is just insane. And you're going to have four guys go this year. And if it's the four that we expect, the two Jakes, Josh and Neil, then you could have four in a world final, which is quite insane. So, yeah, I think that's pushing my decision a little bit. I do really agree with you, though. And I don't want to, like, it's not like a big-headed thing or anything. It's like I just still don't think we have really had a proper crack at the 15. Doing the eight work as well, like my eight PB is 148 and we do about one a year. And if you really want to nail the 15, you have to do that eight work and you have to be doing five, six races over 800 in the year. And you need to get down to 145, 146. And whether I can do that or not, I don't know, but I think I can, I think I have that speed. But again, it's like, do you waste another year trying to nail the 15? And then, and that's the other thing as well. Like, you could be in 3:32 shape, right? Turn up to that trial and not make the team. And in the sport at the moment, if you're not making teams, you're not making money and you're not able to survive and carry on doing what you enjoy. So that, unfortunately, is part of the decision-making process as well. Like, even if I got into PB shape, it's a good chance I don't make that team, even if I was in that kind of shape. And then it's like, well, you know, do we look at the five the following year? And I just think in terms of where maybe my future lies in the sport and kind of I see a gap in the five. For me, there's definitely a spot to be number one in the UK over the 5K for me, I think. And it's, I don't know if we can do that. I don't know if we can run 13:07. I really don't know if we can do that. It's going to take time to do that for sure. But I just think there is the potential there to kind of be number one in the UK over that. And I think that'd be a cool thing to do. Whether I really enjoy the five yet, I don't know. I don't really think so, but we're working on it. And I think it will be a work in progress, but yeah, it's definitely a difficult thought process. And like going back to the training stuff as well, like with the five, we're working on the longer stuff. That's what we've been doing between now and since Jan. And I still really enjoy, and I get a lot of confidence from doing the 8 and 15 work. Like this Friday, we're going to hit a 15 session because I feel like we haven't done enough stuff under 60 pace. And I just feel like I come on a lot from doing that stuff. So whether my body is just more efficient at that kind of pace and I respond well to it, I don't know. But yeah, I kind of still want to be touching that side of things quite a lot. And I still don't know whether, like, to run 13:07 in the five, you need to be doing long stuff pretty much all the time. Because if you look at the guys I hope to racing against, like Cheptegei and all them, like, I mean, they're 10Ks, half marathons, and marathons are off the scale, you know? They're like 59-minute half guys, which I cannot do at all. So if that's what it kind of requires to run 13:07, then we've got a lot of work to do in that department. But then obviously I think you can work at it from the 15 3K side as well. So it depends on what athlete you are. Yeah.
And on that 3K, obviously be an easy decision if that was an outdoor event, I think. but obviously we've seen you had a good indoor season over 3K. How was it for that? Was that kind of with an eye on the 5K a bit?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I've always enjoyed a 3K indoor anyway, because it's obviously the only time you can really do it. So I've always enjoyed that. I think it's just a natural progression as well, coming from your winter work. I always think it's good to do some 3Ks. I'm never really sharp enough to do 15, so I love a 3K. And yeah, it was nice to I had that great opportunity to go out with the team in Flag, and then obviously they link in the New Balance race with it, which was really good to have a go at getting that standard. And I wouldn't say I was like surprised, but I was a little bit surprised at running 7:42 in the opener. I'd been training well, but again, you just don't know, do you, till you step on that track and you haven't raced for a good 6 months. So it's always a bit like, well, I'll take this one cautiously and see where we go. And I was really pleased to obviously knock out the standard in the opening race. And then British champs went perfectly well. And obviously a big, big moment for me, making them a major championship for the first time. So I just think like I had lost that confidence for a few years, if I'm honest, 21, 22. Like I remember talking to Jake and George Mills at a race 1 year in Europe and just saying like, when I step on the line, I just am not confident in my body at all, like that it's going to get out what I need. And they both have had injury issues, and they said the same thing when they were going through those phases. It's difficult to race when you're like that, because you don't have confidence in your body, then you just cannot perform. And I feel like this indoor season, off the back of Boston and stuff, I just had kind of got that mojo back a bit and that confidence. And I just think it's massive when you're racing that you have that, really.
Yeah, man. I mean, you talk about that confidence in your body as well, but you were going through a weird period where you were floating around a little bit, weren't you? No one really knew who was coaching you, you know, what you're up to. I think you're kind of, you know, probably coaching yourself a little bit, but obviously you got so much experience and connections in the sport. There is one thing I want to talk to you about. Obviously, we spoke in Flagstaff in, this would be lockdown 2020, right? And there was potentially a big move on the cards, obviously going to On and being coached by Ritzenhain. And there seems to be a lot of hype over you at that point. And you chose to stay at Oregon. Was there a period during the past 2 years where you look back at that and you thought, oh man, just like, what if?
Yeah, of course. A lot of people have asked me that one, to be fair. My mum's always like, oh, you made a mistake with that one. I don't know. I mean, I still think if I had the opportunity again, the dream at the time was always to go with Nike. So it's a difficult one. Like, you've got to trust your instincts. And I still kind of like wish I had the opportunity to do that. Didn't work out. And yeah, of course, like the On Run group is really great. They're doing really well in Boulder, and maybe that could have come out a lot better for me had I moved on there. I do think that I maybe stayed at Oregon too long, maybe after 21, when we were flitting around that idea of that group as well, that Nike group with Cole and Coop, and just Neil left at that point to go to Under Armour. Like, he'd had enough, I think, of kind of waiting on like false pretenses. And I was like, well, I'll do one more year and just see if it happens. And I just feel like I wasted maybe a year there, maybe even two, going back. And that's 2 years, you know, that go and you don't get back. And I wouldn't say I performed at the level I wanted to perform in those 2 years. So yeah, I mean, it's a really difficult question. Like, would I have wanted to go with them? I think in hindsight, I could be further on now than where I am, having joined that group. But at the time, I just wasn't sure about that move. It was such a big change. And things were, and that's the problem. It's so difficult, isn't it? Because you're running so well at the time, just run 3:34. And it's like, well, why would I change coach and change situation at that point? It's just a really difficult decision. The only thing as an athlete you see is like you going forward. You don't see the other thing, you know, you don't see yourself going backwards the following year. And so, yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it, really? You don't really see those negatives in your head. So at the time, I was like, I'm just going to continue to improve with Ben and things are going to go great. And they didn't. So, yeah, in terms of that decision, it's a difficult one.
Do you feel like you had a lack of guidance at that point? You were on your own. Was there, I'm sure people were kind of offering advice, but did you really have anyone kind of close to you and kind of helping you make these decisions, man? Because whenever I kind of caught up you, it sounded like, you know, this was all going on inside your own head, and it's a lot to do, you know, for an athlete of your level and, you know, your age. And you've never really had to make those decisions before up until that point.
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't say I was having a lot of like support with the decision-making process. I think it was, I guess, like a little bit up to myself, like what I really wanted to do. And my parents were happy to support me with that. Yeah, I guess we as athletes as well, we talk a good game. So it's like, I would say to my parents, well, I'm going to go back next year and I'm going to break the collegiate record because I've run quicker than the collegiate record, you know, this year and stuff. And just, you say stuff like that, it's just, and you think it's going to happen, but it doesn't. So they all buy into that as well. And they're like, oh, okay, well, and if you break the collegiate record, you are going to sign a good contract probably. Yep. So yeah, it just doesn't work like that, does it? The sport. But I think it's a difficult one. Like Ben wanted me to come back to Oregon. They managed to find me another year. And obviously that was in his best interest, I guess, to have someone senior come back to the team as well. And they obviously smashed it that year. Cooper, Cole and Charlie like were unbelievable that year. So the team was really good off the back of it. But yeah, it would have been nice to have a bit more, you know, support in that process from maybe someone who had been there before.
Mm-hmm.
But equally, like, you could look back and say I did what most people wouldn't do. Like, I could have gone pro and taken the money and gone to a situation where maybe I was more stable, but I decided to maybe take a chance on myself, and it didn't work out. But that's how it goes, I guess. Yeah.
How does it feel being back in the UK, kind of for your base now? I know you've been abroad a fair bit still, but is it going to be a big, big change rather than being in the US? You've been out there for years now.
Yeah, I actually am really glad to be home, to be fair. I think there was a point where the pressure was starting to build massively out there. And I think when you're surrounded by Cole and Cooper, who are just, were every race, just dropping insane times and things like that. And I wasn't. And they've got that stability of that contract. And so every race you go into, you're kind of thinking, I've got to nail this race every time. And we know as athletes, like, you can't do that. It just doesn't work like that. But when you're in that position where people are watching you all the time, like, you need to do that. And it was just getting on top of me, I think. And I was doing too much in the training sessions and then underperforming in the races. And I think I came home, and like Matt said, I was actually coaching myself from September to Christmas, basically, the start of this year, and just having my dad help me out with stuff. And honestly, like, I think the reason why I just started running better again this year was just I was so relaxed and just like took away the stress. I was at home, nice and chilled, being looked after at the end of the day, and just kind of just enjoying the running process again. I think that's a big part of the sport, really. At the end of the day, it's just like removing that pressure and being in a situation where you're settled. And I think, like, I feel like I'm in that kind of position right now, and I think it was maybe a good time for me to come back. Yeah.
Yeah, man. And now we can just transition into the goals via the year, maybe some long-term goals as well. And, you know, possibly that world ranking. I mean, you've actually got a pretty high world ranking in the 5K. What are you? Are you 50th or something in the 5K at the moment you're 100th off your 3K as well. So you can kind of manipulate the ranking system with your 3K as well. So, you know, we know you're doing the fast 5K 10th of June. So yeah, talk about goals this summer.
Yeah, I think it's a shame, obviously, that the UK's decided to go with that, getting rid
of
them.
I'm still not convinced that by the time the Olympic comes around that will be the case. But I know it's been announced now, but surely, man, when the Olympics comes around, it's only in Paris. Jesus, well, hell, British athletics are busts. Let people pay their own way, at least, you know.
It's a massive shame if they weren't to allow the ranking system, because I did think this year, like you said, you can manipulate the rankings. And off the 3K, I think it was Jack Rowe, told me my actual ranking could be really good because it was a gold. It was a gold and I came third. And so you get good points for that. And in an indoor race, I think I only needed to run about 13:20 at maybe a decent level race this summer. Mm-hmm. And my ranking would be sort of top 50, which obviously you need a bit more than that with the UK to make the world team. But you're not far off, are you? So I did think there was a possibility to make that world team this year for Budapest. But I think, if I'm being honest, I've said that to a few people, like 13:07's probably not in my capability this summer. I don't know what I will run in Paris. That's something really interesting to myself as well, like where we're at with that. So I guess we'll find out in a few weeks. But I think 13:07 is something that takes a little bit of time to get to. But I mean, I want to make Paris next year. So you don't have ages. Got to run 13:06 the following year. So I don't have loads of time to get it right. But I really hope, like you said, that they switch the rankings, because I just think it's crazy that we wouldn't be taking guys who are capable. Because I was thinking, like, this year, if you say you ran a top race around 13:10,
yeah,
you know, 9:13:08, like, you won't go to a major champs, it's like you're more than capable of being at a major champs running times like that, but they obviously won't take you with the current criteria. So it's a difficult one. But I think this year, like goal wise, I would really like to get the 15 back down to 3:34. I've got 2:15s coming up. I've got one in Spain on the 26th and then one in Prague now on the 5th, which is 5 days out from the Paris 5. And then, yeah, I'd like to get under 13:20 in Paris. That would be a good goal of mine. And then, yeah, try and get as close to the 13:06, 13:07, maybe in August, September time, if we could get another five around then. I think that would be the goal for the year, and see how much we can knock off that 5K time.
Yeah, it seems like you've got a pretty clear idea of races coming up. And is that something that's improved as well, kind of now signing with New Balance and being part of the group and just being a bit more settled with what you're doing next, rather than always, I guess, trying to chase what race you might be able to get into?
Yeah, I think that's one of the downsides with America as well that people don't tell you about. When you finish college, and we were looking at races with Ben and stuff, we didn't really have a plan. It was sort of like you'd have to pay your way to California, or you'd have to pay your way to New York, and like these are not cheap flights. And I think that was one of the big things that my dad wanted me to do with coming back to Europe, because you can get to all these meets and they pay all your travel, they pay your accommodation. So, and there's so many more meets available. Like every weekend you have like top quality continental tour races. And in the US, you don't really have that actually. There's actually not that many meets outside the college scene. Especially ones that pay your travel, they don't. They're kind of like college meets and you have to find yourself. So I think that's been a really big benefit, like coming back here. There's plenty of races. I want to get comfortable racing in Europe. I think it's a good skill to be able to deal with the travel and then race. And that's why I've got 3 weekends back to back coming up where I race. And also, I just, like I said, I feel like I am the most prepared I've been for a few years. Like we are getting to grips with a hamstring injury, and that's improving a lot. So for me, it's like we as athletes always want to race when we're absolutely perfect. And I feel like this year I've had such a good build up. Like I need to race. Like I should be racing a lot, and we don't need to keep racing and then doing 4 week blocks and then do another race. So I'm quite excited to just get out there and race. And if they aren't great to start with, they aren't great, but kind of just build yourself in and enjoy it a bit more. Because you end up training for 9 months of the year and racing 3 months, and it'd be nice to actually like race a fair amount if I can. And Europe offers that, so yeah.
It does. Yeah, you're right. I mean, racing in America sucks a little bit. Any of the races that pros can do are just geared around that collegiate system. Like we pretty much seen the best races in America happen already. So, I mean, one thing I just want to touch on is the dynamic of the training group. Obviously, you are pretty much the only male in the group. I guess you do pretty much all your workouts alone. How are you finding that?
Yeah, that's something we're figuring out as well. I'm quite good at motivating myself. I've never really had an issue with that side of things, but it was definitely difficult in Chiavenna this year, some of the sessions we were trying to do. And I was literally talking about that to Adam the other day, and even Adam was saying he was talking to Helen about me needing someone to work with. I mean, Helen's really great on the bike with the tempo stuff. So I think I'm good on the tempo stuff and the longer things like that. But yeah, definitely on the track, if I'm trying to hit mile reps or anything like that, doing it on your own is difficult. And we found that recently on the camp. So it's something we're going to have to try and figure out. I think that's the goal of the team. The next goal is to find a guy for me to be able to work with. Not sure when that will happen, but I think it's on the list to do. But yeah, it's something that needs to be done, because it just makes a massive difference, really, being able to hit those workout times. And trying to run like 4:16, 4:20 miles in training is very difficult on your own. And so you do need someone to work with. So I think I'm starting to see that more and more as we hit maybe the faster track stuff. But it has worked well so far, and I enjoy doing the tempo stuff on my own. And one positive obviously is the fact that the training that me and Helen set is very much geared around myself. Like there's no other influence there, so it's completely for me, and then Helen has the girls to work with. And also it's quite nice just even having the girls at the sessions is just massive, rather than just you taking yourself out to the track alone, which I was doing for that period. So it's just nice having company even when you're at the track, to be honest. That's kind of all you need.
Yeah, you mentioned some of those workouts being pretty hard. Have you got an insight into kind of some of the sessions Helen's been setting you?
Yeah, so I mean, it's a funny one because I don't even know if they're that hard, these sessions, but I'd spoke to Mark and Elliot and people like that in St. Moritz, and no one feels good in Chiavenna. I don't know what it is, but no one ever has a good session. So we think it's because you drop too low.
Yeah.
So it's 6,000 and then you drop into about 900 feet in about 45 minutes. And I don't know if it's something to do with that and the humidity or whatever, but one of them was, so I had a 2K to start in about 550, 555. And then I had a mile in 425, which is pretty hard. And then about 2 minutes off, I think. And then 4x4 with a minute in 62. And then about 2 minutes off. And then 416 was the goal for the mile. And I couldn't hit it. I hit like 430. And then 2 minutes off. And then another 4x4 with a minute in sort of 62 to 60. So just quite difficult, all of that on your own down there. And just kind of blew up on the second mile. And, you know, when you're like maxing out, you shouldn't really be maxing out, I guess, in some of those sessions, you know, it's like B plus A minus stuff. But yeah, I spoke to Mark about it as well, because I ran with him a few times out in St. Moritz, which was nice. And he just said 9 times out of 10, he's had a bad one down there. And Jerry would message him sort of like, what's going on? He's like, I don't know. So I don't know what it is down there, but it's a tough one. So, but other than that, the training's been good and stuff, and I tried not to analyze it too much, you know.
Yeah, no, and I do think when you're operating at that top end, you like you said, you do need company, man. That when you're running at 5K and 15 pace, it's so hard to do solo.
Mm, yeah.
Like, but one thing, let's just talk about weekend just gone. A decent opener, I guess, and quite a funny race as well. Like, it was, Koskinen just kind of got after it, didn't he? In a way, and everyone kind of wound up not running their best, really.
Yeah, definitely a weird one. You know, it wasn't what I was really hoping for, but I think sometimes with these races, you have to, like, I didn't really want to race. We'd just come back from St. Moritz and we'd been away for a month and I wanted to just relax for a bit. But it was sort of like, got back Thursday night, fly out Friday midday, barely unpacked. And I was like, you need a race after camp sometimes. It's good to do and good to sort of blow away the cobwebs. So although maybe it wasn't what I wanted to do in the long run, it was going to be important to get that one out of the way straight away, especially with these 15s coming up. I didn't really want to be opening up at these races. I wanted to, you know, be a little bit sharper for them. So in terms of the race, you know, I just felt a bit flat from the start. I remember thinking, like, I remember seeing a 2:37K, I think, at the first K, and was like, yeah, this is not going to be a good one. One of those. But it was actually all right. And I was quite happy with, normally, like, I was going backwards last couple of laps, and in the past I'd have just fell apart there and, you know, come sort of sixth or seventh. But actually when the boys went round me, I kind of found another gear and came back at them. So that was all right, I guess. And 7:53, that's a bad day. It's not too bad. But I think in terms of, like, in the past, I think as athletes, like, we aren't very good sometimes at just seeing these races as a process and, like, being okay with having a bad one and losing. We want to win every race. And I think sometimes, like, that's been my downfall as well. Like, I hate to lose and it affects me, and you might start overanalyzing all your training. But I think you've got to sometimes be better at just accepting that they aren't, maybe it's not going to be great, and that you just take it sort of like a training run and use it to get better for the rest of the season. So kind of looking at it like that, and hopefully it will help me on for a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, I think so. Definitely. Sounds like you're in the right place, mate. And obviously wish you all the best of those races. Just before we finish then, obviously new brand, new contract means new shoes. What are you wearing on your feet at the moment?
Yeah, I'm on the more V4s, which are actually really helping me quite a lot. Much bigger shoe than I've been used to wearing. They're almost like a Hoka, to be honest, like very similar to like Ellis's stuff that he's wearing. But yeah, they've really helped my Achilles issues, because I was struggling quite a lot still with that when I headed out to Flag and Jad, and they've just really solved that quite a lot. So I have like orthotics in the back just to lift the heel up a little bit, so it's not rubbing on the Achilles, but wearing those. And then a lot of the girls wear the 1080s. Haven't really worn them much yet, but I think they're a decent shoe. And then the V3 Carbons are really great for the tempo sessions. Really like those. I like the Super Comps quite a lot for training on the track, which is like a carbon flat that they've come out with. Really nice, quite lightweight, bit like an LT almost, but slightly more protection. And still getting used to the LDX spikes, to be fair. Got given an 8.5 for Boston just sort of on the day of the race, and I'm not quite sure they're the right size still, but I need to try 9 and just see like if they're too small or whatever. But yeah, the shoes I've actually transitioned quite nicely into, and the casual stuff's really nice as well, so that's cool.
Yeah, you were someone, obviously, you did wear Nike a lot throughout your career so far. So have you been surprised at the kind of level of New Balance and the level they're at now?
I think like Nike have always kind of been like up there, haven't they? And probably the most popular shoe to wear. But it's interesting that I think a lot of people actually think like Nike are the best shoes, but I don't think they are in terms of actual like performance a lot of the time. Mm. Like, you get problems in the Nike shoes all the time. So it's actually been quite nice like changing over and realizing that the Moors have given me less problems than I've ever had in a pair of pegs, to be honest. Mm. And we know New Balance and Adidas and all of those, they've been getting better all the time. And yeah, the gear's actually really nice, and the shoes are great. I actually really prefer the V3s almost to the Vaporfly. With the Vaporfly, I like flip my foot quite a lot, supinate a lot with them, and the V3s keep me a lot more stable. So I think I'm getting a lot less sort of Achilles and ankle issues with them as well. So yeah, it's been quite a nice transition, it, to be honest. And yeah, not getting too many issues at the minute.
Yeah. Good to hear. Well, look, Wesley, it's been great to chat to you, mate. And I'm sure we'll have you on again at some point soon. So
always a good talker.
Thanks very much, guys. Appreciate it.